Parshas Truma. Okay, one of the strangest things that you have in a parsha like Parshas Truma is that you have to understand what the purpose of the Mishkan was. You have to sit there and try to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a Mishkan, and then when we went to Eretz Yisrael, he made us build a Beis HaMikdash. So what's that? You're welcome. What in the world was that purpose of first building the Mishkan while they were in the Midbar, and then going ahead when they went to Eretz Yisrael and making this Beis HaMikdash and creating this Beis HaMikdash that obviously is different? All the sizes of the different Kalim are completely different from one another. And then it's just the Beis HaMikdash itself is just not the same. So here's one question. Here's the question. Where do we know that you're supposed to make the Beis HaMikdash? Where do we know that there's a command to make a Beis HaMikdash? We know about the Mishkan, but we don't know about the Beis HaMikdash. So where do you know that there's a command to make the Beis HaMikdash? Here we go. One of the Rishonim, the Rambam, says that it comes out from the Pasuk in Pasuk Chaz, Ba'asu li mikdash v'shachati v'sochon. Make for me a mikdash, and I will live among them. So it doesn't say the word Ba'asu li mishkan. It doesn't say that you should make for me a mishkan. It says make for me a mikdash. Why did it say the word mikdash? So from the fact that he uses the word mikdash instead of the word mishkan, tells me that you got to make a Beis HaMikdash. That's number one. It's something that's more permanent. The Smag argues. Smag says it does not come from this week's parsha. Over here, we're only talking about the Mishkan, and that's it. We're only talking about the Mishkan. There's nothing else there. Rather, they quote a Sifri in Parshas Re'eh that says, "V'haya amakom asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha l'shakein shmo sham, shama taviu is kol korban oseim." The place that God chooses to rest His name there, that is where you will bring all your korbanos. Okay, so that's where you get the Beis HaMikdash from. There you will bring it. Shama taviu. That's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but there's clearly a difference.
Wasn't it referring to Shiloh or no?
And that's also a good call. Shema Taviyu seems to be Hashem Lishakin Shemosham, for it to mamish be there, and for His name to be there for all time. So that would only be Rishonim, because Nov and Givon were still moving around. But you have something that says that. But there's clearly a difference between the two. Why is there a difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash? What is that difference, and what did God want in the Midbar that they couldn't really have until they got to Eretz Yisrael? So what was the point of this temporary house of God, this house of the Lord? So the Shem Yishmol says the following. He says, Mishkan means a dwelling place. Mikdash means holiness. Holiness on its own. Mishkan is only holy because it's the dwelling place of the Shekhinah. Mikdash means the place is intrinsically holy. The place has some type of holiness that in and of itself is tremendous. Now, in the Midbar, we know that miracles surrounded Bnei Yisrael over there once. I mean, you walked in the street, you were walking on clouds. That's pretty cool. Everywhere you went, you had clouds with you. You wanted to eat something, you ate mun. Mun tasted like anything you wanted it to be, and it was this white, fluffy substance. You wanted to drink something, you had the Be'er Shomirim, the water that was all the way around you. You had tremendous miracles following you and together with you wherever you went.
Anything you wanted to drink?
The drink also.
Yeah, so like
according to the Midrashim, yeah. Kool-Aid. But they probably wouldn't know what Kool-Aid was. They knew what "oh yeah" meant, but they didn't. They probably wouldn't know it. I would assume so. Either way, but the Kedusha, what, in the Midbar, they lived on Kedusha. It was their whole lives. The norm for them to live was just Kedusha. They lived on crazy things. So what was the Mishkan? The Mishkan didn't prove to them. The Mishkan didn't prove to them anything more, any more Kedusha than they already had. They already had that amount of Kedusha. They already had everything that they had. What was the purpose of the Mishkan? It was like a shul. It was just a place for concentrating your thoughts on God. Because sometimes when you see the mud and you see the Be'er and you see that mountain, you can attribute it to like other things. You're just like, I know there's clouds following. It's just a really crazy fog. I know this stuff tastes, this marshmallow tastes like anything I want it to. I don't know, maybe, you know, you inject it with like DNA. They injected it with something. They poured something inside. You forget the constant miracles and the constant vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with you. You just forget about it. The point of the Mishkan was to go to a place where you can just go and see what's going on there. See HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be like, oh yeah, that's right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me wherever I went. It's just a place where you can concentrate. Where the Shekhinah rested, and it was more manifest. But the Shekhinah was throughout. The Shekhinah was really throughout Klal Yisrael. There was no place that the Shekhinah wasn't. And that was the point of the Mishkan. Just to remind them, but they really had the reminder when they were outside. The Beis HaMikdash was totally different. They walked into Eretz Yisrael, the mud stopped, the Anunim stopped, the Be'er Shomirim stopped. Now, in order for them to be able to have any food, or any drink, or even have a shelter, they had to work. They had to work somewhere. They had to go out somewhere work on something and be able to really work on themselves. They lived extremely physical lives, very physical lives. And their lives were all about, well, where am I going to get my next dollar? How am I going to be able to afford my kid's tuition? Or how am I going to be able to live while everything else is going on here? I have to go to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year. The point of the Beis HaMikdash was to infuse your life with Kedusha. That was the whole point. Because you don't have Kedusha normally. There was no such thing as a shul until the times of Ezra, in between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. People davened, but it was whatever tefillah they wanted to make. There was no set Shmona Esrei just yet. No set Shmona Esrei. That was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, by the times of Ezra, when they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no set Shmona Esrei. They davened. I'm sorry?
They're Korbanos.
Without a question, they are Korbanos. But you could only bring Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. You couldn't bring your Korban in your own house. You could daven in your own house. You could daven.
The Korban was in place of people.
1,000%. Yeah, I understood you. But meaning, you could only do that in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no such thing as a shul where you live. Let's say you lived in Haifa. Let's say you lived in Tel Aviv. Let's say you lived wherever you wanted to around Eretz Yisrael. You couldn't just go to a shul and daven. There was no such thing. So what did they do? They davened by themselves. There was such a concept as a minyan. A minyan is a little bit of a kasha. What it meant, they laned. They laned the partials. There was such a thing as Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah was made somewhat before that by Moshe Rabbeinu, although Ezra set it up on certain days, on Monday and Thursday. But there was such a thing as Kriyas HaTorah. There were ideas of minyanim. But it wasn't there. Their lives were about the physical. Until 3 times a year, they would do a Leah LaRegel, they would go to the Beis HaMikdash and they would say to themselves, oh my gosh, I completely forgot how spiritual our lives are supposed to be. They would remind themselves how ruchni they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how God is with them in whatever they do. Dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring the korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and infuse their lives with Kedusha so that they can go back to their physical upbringing, I guess you could say, and understand what life is.
The 3 times don't sound like they're spread out very well.
That is exactly, it's not spread out necessarily, it's done in specific times, but that's exactly why people started sinning. Because people didn't have enough time in the Beis HaMikdash and didn't spend enough time there to really infuse themselves with Kedusha. And then people give excuses, I can't go this week, I can't go this year, I don't know, I'm not going to be able to do it. Only 1 year you spend without going to the Beis HaMikdash once. You could go a whole year without, in theory, you davened, but without really having a minyan, without bringing a korban. In theory, that could happen. The Korban Pesach, okay, you have to go around, you have to do that. But in theory, it could happen that you have to stay out in Haifa, you were sick for a little bit, and you didn't have anything whatsoever. The Beis HaMikdash was a different area than the Mishkan. The Mishkan was, you know it's Kadosh, you know you got holiness all around you, just concentrate. I want you to concentrate for a little bit, spend some time in the Mishkan, concentrate on God, and know that it's God that gave you all this spirituality and all this holiness. But the Beis HaMikdash, the point was, you don't have any Kedusha at all. You have nothing. You have nothing. I got to spiritually make you up. I have to uplift you. I have to bring you there. I have to bring you into the Beis HaMikdash. Thus, the Beis HaMikdash as a place had to be a place of pure Kedusha. Where it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was resting there. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wherever the people were. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah was with every person wherever they went. Even if they went into Golos, the Shekhinah was with them in some way, shape, or form. But the Beis HaMikdash was a place that reminded you of who you were as a Jew. What you want to do as a Jew. That's why Yeravam ben Nevat, when he separated from the kingdom of Yehuda, the first thing he said was, I can't allow them to do Aliyah L'Regel. If you do Aliyah L'Regel, if you end up doing Aliyah L'Regel, you've got a problem. You've got a problem, because if you end up doing Aliyah L'Regel, they're going to see the people in Yehuda. They're going to see those people, and they're going to say, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to act? We're supposed to be like these people. We are suffusing ourselves with Kedusha. When they didn't do that, well, look what happened to Malchus Yisrael. They started losing out on everything. They had no way of understanding what Kedusha was or how to bring that Kedusha back. They just didn't know what to do. That's the difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shur says a beautiful vort. But you have to go all the way through in this vort. This is an unbelievable vort. But he says the following. He says, God brought himself down with the Mishkan. He came down himself. God came down and he said, I am going to be with you, to mingle with us. You know, with a little drink in his hand, saying like, I'm together with you. I'm going to be here for you. Anything you guys need, I'll be able to be around. He was going to spread out his Kedusha, which he never did before. He never did that before. He showed us how to make God come to us and bring our Kedusha, bring His Kedusha down and spread it among the people. So, let's think for a second. Is there a purpose for this whole parsha? Is there a purpose for this? Let's say God came down and said, build a Mishkan. That Mishkan was never going to be recreated. Never. There will never be another time where this Mishkan is recreated. In fact, there's a lav. You're not allowed to make any of these kelim. You can't make any of these kelim. All these kelim that are mentioned in the parsha, you are not allowed to redo. So let me ask you, what in the world is the point of telling us about them? Just say, God came down, He told them to make a Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Do you understand the question? Listen to Reb Shor's question. What's the point? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? Why waste four parshios, Truma, Tetzava, Vayakov, Pekudei, on things that have no business being in our lives? We have nothing to do with this. Why waste my time? Why waste my time with it? Especially when we're going to make another Beis HaMikdash. This isn't even temporary. Tell us what the Beis HaMikdash is going to be like, and don't tell us anything about the Mishkan. What's the point? Like. Not the Mishkan. It was always going to be a Beis HaMikdash. As you said, Vasuri Mikdash Vishakanti Visokham. We're going to have a Beis HaMikdash according to the Rambam. So if we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, there's no point to mention it so parsha. It's never going to happen ever again. Just say there was a Tzivoy for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tzivoy changed when it came to us. The Tzivoy is all different when it came to us. What happened? Every single thing that is in this parsha is supposed to be a lesson. The measurements that are there for a reason. And you can learn from every single bit of it that you something that you can apply to your daily life. We're going to take one of those things. Every measurement used for the Aron Kodesh, 2.5 amos, 1.5 amos, 1.5 amos, they're all broken. It's all shvuros, amos shvuros. Half an amma, half an amma, half an amma. What's the point of the half an amma? Says Rav Shor, the point is to be an anuf, to break yourself, to make yourself into a humble person who is broken. Break that amma. Break that amma. If you think you're such a great person, you want to learn Torah, break yourself. Knock yourself down. Throw yourself to the ground and say to yourself, I am not worthy to be able to do such a thing. When you're mevatel yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can cause yourself to raise levels. And here's the levels. And listen carefully. The first level that a person can be at when he really follows God and he wants to join in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be a ben, to be a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be bunin to God. The next level up, you are after your children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're past Avadim, you're no longer a slave. You're born into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the son of God, so to speak. The next level up is Achosi. It's mentioned in Shira Shirin Perakeh, to be the sister of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be on Ki'ilu, the same level. I am the sister of God, I'm not in the same power as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm Ki'ilu on Achosi. The last level is Tamasi, to be perfect and one with God. To be on the level where you and God, people look at you and they see you as a pure emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, so that's Bonin, Achosi, and Tamasi. Says we're sure they could be represented by Nikudos. Bonin could be a Shvar, dot over a dot. The dot is the father, the other dot is the son, right? Because one comes from the other. That would be Bonin. Achosi, sisters, would be a Tseri. That would be a Tseri, the two dots on the side. A Tseri because you and your sister, you're equal, so to speak, but you're still separate from one another. There's not yet that connection. You want to be Tamasi, perfect, one with God? That's a Chirik. The one little dot right in the middle, because you and God are all as one. You and God are together as one. Again, a Shva, a Tseri, and a Chirik. The first word in the Torah is the word Bereshis. Bereshis has a Shva, a Tseri, and a Chirik. Says for sure, that's the point. The point is to go from Bunin to Achosi to finally be Tamasi, to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely all as one. That's the whole idea behind Bereshis. Says Rav Shor, the whole idea behind being mevatel yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing yourself to become one with God, where your will is God's will. Where it's no longer, I don't want to get up for Shacharis today. Why wouldn't I get up for Shacharis today? I get to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To get up with a bren, with a desire, with a will to get up there. That's why the word shafel, to lower yourself, is the same gematria 410 is the word Mishkan. Because the point of the Mishkan was to see yourself as so lowly. To look at the Mishkan and say, wow, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. All these things in this world. Amalek stood for the exact opposite. Amalek is the gematria of 240, the gematria of Rum. to be rum beneath them, to lift themselves up and say, we are great in and of ourselves. We don't need a God. I myself am great. What do I need anybody else for? I myself am good enough. I have God, but I know that I can do what I want to do, and that's it. What else do I need to do? Says the Chofetz Chaim, the lesson that God is trying to teach us is, let's think for a second. He goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, I want to make a house for myself. I want to make a house for myself. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu said? When Moshe Rabbeinu first heard that, he heard, oh, you want to make a house for me? The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oy vey! What am I going to do? Make a house for God? There's not enough wood in the world to make a house for God. There's not enough manpower to make a house for God. What are we going to do? Says the Chofetz Chaim. The Medrash ends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I expect nothing. Just do this and this is good enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, break yourself. Know that you won't be able to do everything. Knock yourself down a little bit. I'm sorry? The best that you can. Exactly. That's all it is. Just break yourself. Know that sometimes you can't do everything on your own. You can't do everything just by yourself. Sometimes I don't know is the best answer that you can give anybody. Just say to yourself, I don't know. How am I supposed to know that sort of a question? How am I supposed to know that sort of an answer? That is the absolute best answer that's there. There's a shach. I was at a wedding this week on Monday night, and I had finished the svarim that I wanted to do on Sunday. Usually I spend Monday nights for writing down my notes. That's what I usually end up doing. But I'm at a wedding. I can't bring my notebook with my svarim at the wedding. That looks a little weird, and I'm writing down the whole time. I don't do that. So I bring like a little safer with me. I bring a little safer, and I just have it with me, and I usually, like, if I'm at, you know, the non-rabbi's table, then I just hide it under the table. If I'm at the rabbi's table, then I don't sit there because then, you know, it gets kind of embarrassing. But I try to, like, you know, there's a lot of dead time at a wedding. I don't know if you've been to a wedding recently. A lot of dead time at a wedding. So you can hide the safer. I put the safer usually behind one of the chairs, you know, like on one of those areas. I just hide it there, and I go out for a couple minutes, and I just sit in a corner in the middle of nowhere, and you can do whatever you want. So I brought a safer called the Shach Ala Torah, the Sifsei Kohen Ala Torah. No, you also use it. I'm glad. I'm not the only one that does that, then. It's a good idea. It's a very good idea to bring in. You bring copies sometimes that nobody sees. You have a whole safer out there. Either way, I got this safer, the Shach Ala Torah, and I decided, you know what? I might as well look it up. I found two palms. These boards are powerful. Powerful boards. Listen to the Shach. The Shach says, what would the Mishkan have been if there was no Egel Azov? What would happen if they didn't do the Egel Azov? The Egel Azov was supposed to have happened before this. What would have happened had the Egel Azov never happened? Let's say they're just, well, what would the Mishkan have been? Listen to this. It says, on Har Sinai, we know that B'nai Yisrael was not on a physical level anymore. They were able to see the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Roim es HaKolos. They saw the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that came out, they saw it. They saw the words appear in front of them. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God that took you out of Mitzrayim, appeared out in the sky. It became words. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right out there in front of them. They were able to see the kolos. They were able to see the noise and see everything out there. There is no way to see noise. It's not physically possible because B'nai Yisrael was on a level beyond the physical. They were so spiritually inclined, they had become so ruchni, they were able to see the kolos. They were malachim. They were malachim. Listen to this. The Mishkan would have been a place that you could only see if you were spiritual. The Mishkan would not have been made by physical hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have made the Mishkan himself out of fire. It would have been made of fire, says the Shach. And the Mishkan would have made of this Or Ruchni, this light of Ruchnius. It would have been brought down. And you know what it would have been? When a person wanted to remember that there's something spiritual out there in this world, he would have to go to the Mishkan and become spiritual. It would be a process to enter yourself back into the Mishkan. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't let our lives be entirely spiritual. That's not this world. This world is there to be physical. The world is for us to be able to do things, to be in this world and to do things in this world, to work in this world. That's what we're supposed to do. But there was supposed to be an idea of this spirituality, that our lives were going to have the ability to become spiritual at any point, where we could see voices. That if you wanted to go to shul, it wasn't just going to shul. You walked into a shul and you saw God sitting there. You saw Malachim. Angels. The angels would be right there in the Mishkan. The whole point was to have everything right there, to have the fifth of the spiritual business together with the physical all there for you. It was like a pump up. You know those little pump shoes that they used to have with Dominique Wilkins? You know what I'm talking about? In the 80s, you got to pump it up, you know, you press the little thing. Dominique Wilkins had it beforehand, my friend. Yeah, because they had the whole commercials where he's like flying. Come on. Shaq also had it. They were all there. You have to trust me. David, I'm 2 years older than you, buddy. You got to trust me on this one. I was there. I saw those commercials 2 years before. Yeah.
The one that Shaq had was the purple one. Blue, right.
I think we're getting a little bit off subject. Regardless, it's like a pump it up. That type of a thing where you just sit there, you're living a physical life, everything's all good, and all you're doing is you're sitting there, you're taking the shoe, you're pumping yourself up, you go to the Mishkan, and all of a sudden, you can see voices. You saw Malachim. Your whole life was Rukhni. It was a totally different thing. It was like, okay, I got to live my Gashmi life. I got to go out to work. I got to make money. I got to have a physical life. But three times a year, I would go to the Mishkan, and I would be totally spiritual. Totally spiritual. And then I come back with a newfound recognition of what life is all about. What my whole life is supposed to be. That's what it was supposed to be. But after the Egel Azov, when they took the spiritual God and put it in a physical Egel right there in front of them, God said they don't deserve this anymore. They don't deserve it. They're going to take the spiritual and misuse it that way. They're going to take their ability to see beyond this world. And they're going to put it into an Egel. I can no longer let them have it. I can no longer let them do this, do such a thing. That Kedusha could be misused if they get it in the Mishkan. The Kedusha could be abused. It could be used for the wrong reasons. That I'm not going to have. It's not going to be an automatic recharge. You know what it is now? It's a recharge if you do something. You have to go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a korban. And if you concentrate well and hard and you're looking at God, everything will happen in the right way. But if not, you're not going to get it.
So they didn't sin, they wouldn't have had...
They wouldn't have needed any need for korbanos, so to speak. No need for them to do anything but walk into the Beis HaMishkan, walk into the Mishkan, slash Beis HaMishkan, and that would have been okay. Now it's Vishachanti. Vishachanti stands for Vishachin Tuf Yud. We lived there for 410 years. It was no longer going to be a Beis HaMishkan forever. It's going to be a Beis HaMishkan for 410 years. We had to build it up. Now, you want to hear a crazy thing? What caused the Mishkan to be destroyed in this sense? No longer was it going to be spiritual. What caused it? The Egel Azov. The Egel Azov, Chazal tell us, was full of Arias. That there was Arias going on all over the Egel. All over the Egel, there were people doing Arias and people doing horrible things with women or whatever it is. That was by the Egel. That was by the original Mishkan. The first and second Beis HaMikdash was also created with Arias. Listen to this. First Beis HaMikdash was created by Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech married Bas Paro. And he had 1,000 wives. He married Bas Paro on the night that he created the Beis HaMikdash. There was a riot involved. There were illicit relations involved in the creation of the first Beis HaMikdash, the same way the Egel destroyed the Mishkan. Second Beis HaMikdash, the reason why Ezra came back is because people were intermarrying. All these Jews were married to non-Jews. All these people were together with bad people. That can't last. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It caused so much tumah to come to Klal Yisrael. That's why the Mishkan, the first and the second Beis HaMikdash have to be destroyed. The only person who can bring it all back is Mashiach. And if Mashiach comes back and brings back the third Beis HaMikdash and there's no Arias involved and there's no illicit relations or bad relationships involved, then everything will be okay. But any illicit relationship that gets involved with the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, any physical act which you think you're doing it in a spiritual way can destroy the entire idea of the Mishkan and all the Kedusha that the Mishkan represented and the Mikdash represents. Here we go. There is a certain piece of wood that's used to the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says the following. When they were donating things, it says, Zosa truma shirtichu meitam, here's the gifts that you have to give. Zohav v'chasef v'nechoshes, gold, silver, and copper. Scheles v'argamen v'solashani v'shesh v'izim, there's blue dye, purple dye, red dye, then linen, and there's also goat hairs. There's goat hairs that were used, goat skins. Oros elim al-damin, skins of red rams. Oros tachashim, the skins of something called the tachash, which is, give or take, it's the unicorn. The skin of the unicorn. Va'atse shitim. And then wood of shitim. It's basically translated as cypress wood. As cypress wood. But there's a bit of a problem with atse shitim. It's not an easy thing to understand. Atse shitim is not, it's not something that's simple. So the question is, what was Atse Shitim? What does that stand for?
Unicorns.
Unicorns, fine. I can explain unicorn another time, but that's not there. Akid is not kosher. It had to be kosher. So it couldn't be anything like that. Giraffe is possible, but there would be no point. There would be no point to use a giraffe. Well, yeah, that will be for another year. But what's the Akid Shifin? Rashi says the following. Medrash Tanchuma says by Atzi Shitim, it says, what did they have the Atzi Shitim for? It says, where did they get the Atzi Shitim? Where did they get this wood in the middle of the desert? How do you have wood in the middle of the desert? How can you have these trees in the middle of the desert? Here's Rabbi Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Yaakovinu tsofa beruach hakodesh asini Yisrael lifnos mishkan b'midbor. Yaakovinu saw with this ruach hakodesh that Bnei Yisrael was going to build a mishkan in the desert. The Havia Rosin Limitraim, and he brought cedar wood down to Egypt. He brought it down to Egypt, and he planted them in Egypt. The Tziva Labonim Litlam Iman Kshiyat Mitzrayim. And he commanded his children, listen, when you come up from Mitzrayim, I know you're going to build a Mishkan, take this with you. I want you to grab these cedar woods, take it out of Mitzrayim, and use the cedar wood that you have, use it to build up a Mishkan when you come to the Midbar. Because otherwise, there's not going to be anything. Cyprus is a type, but it's some type of, it's Atzei Shittim. It was Atzei Shittim that was planted by Yaakov, you know, in Mitzrayim, and then brought back up by Bnei Yisrael when they came out. You should know there's another medrash that says that Adam Rishon himself planted these trees in the first place, and he gave the seeds to Avram Avinu. Now, there's clearly a discrepancy here because Avram Avinu was born in 1948 in the years from Bereishis, and Adam Rishon died in the year 930. So there's somebody in between here. But either way, somehow the seeds of these trees went to Adam Rishon to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu gave them to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak gave them to Yaakov, and Yaakov Avinu brought them down to Mitzrayim and planted them, knowing that it was from Adam Rishon in the first place. That these trees were there from Adam Rishon in the first place. These Atzei Shittim. That's another medrash altogether. The Ibn Ezra asks, how is it shaykh that Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim with these huge trees on their back? These Atzei Shittim were 10 amas long. 10 amas is 15 feet or maybe even 20 feet long. They were walking out of Mitzrayim, not only carrying all their stuff, carrying their children, carrying all the food that they needed and everything else that they needed to get out of Mitzrayim. They were carrying these 10 amma long boards. Huge boards that were 15 feet long. How did the Mitzrayim not ask about it? Says Ibn Ezra, how could it be? And he says, if it's a Kabbalah, then we'll accept it. If it's, you know, that's something that Chazal tell us is true, then we'll accept it. But it makes no sense. It's so strange. Why would that be? There's tons of answers to this kasha. The Gurai and the Mizrahi say, simply put, they said that they were leaving for how many days? What did they tell the Mitzrayim? For 3 days. What did they say they were going to do for 3 days?
Carbonos.
They're going to bring korbanos. How many animals did they bring for those korbanos?
All
of their animals, because they didn't know how much they had to bring. If you sacrifice all your animals, you're going to need a lot of wood to be able to burn all those animals. So they said, we need all this wood to be able to use as firewood to be able to burn the animals. That's what they did. That's the Gurai in Ibn Ezra. That Seyd al-Adarach says it's even more of a raya. Why would they bring these huge boards if they're trying to run away? If you're really trying to run away, don't bring 10 amma long boards with you. It must be that they're only there temporarily, that they're only going to leave temporarily, and they're not planning on coming back. But in fact, that's not what happens. They put these Atzei, the Eitz HaRozen, all these trees, these Atzei Shittim, they put them in the Yamsuf, they put them down in the middle of the Yamsuf, and they floated them down the Yamsuf, down to Har Sinai. They ended up going down to Har Sinai. So before they jumped into the Yamsuf split, they put the Atzei HaRozen, they put these wood things, these huge beams, in the Yamsuf, and it went all the way down right to Har Sinai. Har Sinai is in the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula, right off the Red Sea, and it landed right there, and they had it all ready for them when they were supposed to build the Mishkan. That's what ended up happening. But still, aside from the strange part among this, did they bring, where's Tchelas? Tchilitz comes from some type of either a snail or a fish. That snail or fish is only found in the Mediterranean Sea. It's not anywhere else. It's only in the Mediterranean Sea. So why didn't Yaakov Avinu bring them some Muranek snails? Why not give them tchilitz? Where were they going to get tchilitz from? If Yaakov Avinu was worried that they're not going to have wood when they go down to Mitzrayim because they're going to be in the middle of the desert, where are they going to get wood from? So what are they going to do? So why not worry about the tchilitz? But not near where they were. Okay, but they're nowhere near there. So what are they going to do about tchelis? They need tchelis right now. Where are they going to get tchelis from? So why didn't Yaakov even worry about that? The answer is that they brought tchelis out of Mitzrayim. There was tchelis from the Mediterranean Sea in Mitzrayim. They brought the tchelis out of Mitzrayim. So you could bring wood out of Mitzrayim. So what's the big deal that Yaakovinu had to bring wood and plant it in Mitzrayim in order to bring it out, but everything else they happen to buy in Mitzrayim or they happen to get in Mitzrayim?
How did they know in the first place that they would need tefillah? Like, meaning they weren't commanded any of that stuff until later.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. But they brought all the treasures in Mitzrayim out. Part of the treasures was the ability to make tefillah. Part of those treasures was the ability to make our gamon and tolas sunny and all those other good things. So they brought all those out. So the question is, okay, so how do you know they wouldn't bring out wood? Why wouldn't they bring the wood out as well? So here the Shach comes up with another chiddush. And here this chiddush takes you off. It's just absolutely unbelievable what he says. Atzei shitim. Where have you heard that word shitim? Before, we haven't seen it in the Parshas. But we see shitim later on in Parshas Bahaloscha, in Shlach, in Korach. Where do we see it? I'm sorry? Yes. Where was shitim? At the end of Parshas Balak. The Bnei Yisrael were sitting in the land called Shittim. And in Shittim, the Benos Midian and the Benos Moab came and seduced them, made them do Avodah Zarah, and made them over on Gilearias. He made them be over on both Gilearias and Avodah Zarah, and they sinned. Bnei Shimon were together with these women. The Atzei Shittim was trees from that land of Shittim. Shittim was a land that was full of znus. Full of snows. And the water, we know that water has property that other things don't. The water that they drank made them have more taiva than normal. They drank from that water and they became full of snus. Full of snus. So the trees that were made in that land were snus trees. There were trees that were full of snus. Yaakov Avinu knew that. These trees were the surrounding trees of the land of Sodom. There were the trees that surrounded Sodom. And when Sodom was destroyed, the only thing that was left were these trees. And everything that was around it, just those trees, there was nothing else left. Yaakovinu took these trees and wanted to be Mekadesh them. He wanted to make them holy so that you could bring Kedusha from them. Because we all know that the greatest Tuma causes the greatest Kedusha. The greatest Kedusha can come from the most Tame object. Because something that is not as Tame will never have the potential for growing higher. But something that is unbelievably Tameh, if you turn it around and you turn it into Kedusha, has the ability to go all the way to the other side and become even holier than anything else out there. You can bring up everything. We don't have the ability to bring up kosher food, non-kosher food, and that's the reason why we don't. But there will be an ability to do so. That's in the times of whatever it is. That's the chazir, that it's going to be closer to us, lost in love. But we will have the ability. We just don't have the ability right now to be Mekadosh these things. But Yaakovinu did. What Yaakovinu did is he took that unbelievable amount of tumah. He took that unbelievable znus from the Atzei Shittim, and he took it and he planted it in Mitzrayim. You know why? To bring a Kedusha, to surround Bnei Yisrael with Atzei Shittim, they wouldn't be affected by the znus of Mitzrayim. That these trees, which came from znus, would surround them in Mitzrayim and not allow the Kedusha to go away. To not allow the znus of Mitzrayim to permeate their beings. He went then and he planted it in Mitzrayim, says the Shach. The only people, when they brought it out, they had to bring it with them in order to keep themselves from having znus. That's why in Mitzrayim only one woman failed when it came to intermarriage. Only one woman got together with Shevet Shimon. With one of the Mitzrayim. Only one woman, it was Shlomis Bas Dibri. But the rest of it is always Gadar Min Arayis. Because Yaakovinu brought down the Atzei Shittim. And that was it. There was nothing else to talk about. So when they came back, they took out this Atzei Shittim. And they brought it with them. And Davka, this wood that saves you from Arayis, could be used for the Mishkan. It could be used to create the Aron Kodesh. It could be used to create the Shulchan. It could be used to create the crush and the boards that surround it. Tell you to be Goder Min Arayis. To fence yourself in and to not allow the Arayis to affect you. Davka, this wood was used more than anything else. Because Yaakovinu made sure that his Kedusha, the Kedusha of a person who didn't have to get married till he was 83 years old. The Kedusha of a person who didn't know what it was like to sleep with the wrong woman. The Kedusha of a person who knew what it was like to be Goder Min Arayis. To be Goder Min Arayis. Yaakov Avinu was able to put his Kedusha inside these Atzei Shittim and thus use it for Klal Yisrael to turn them into unbelievable people. Unbelievable people. People that were not able to falter in Arayis. The problem was Shevet Shimon married into the Erev Rav. And the Erev Rav had nothing to do with the Mishkan. They didn't donate a thing. when it says that they gathered all the money, none of it was from Erevrav. The Erevrav didn't give anything. If that's so, then the Erevrav that mixed in with Shevet Shimon ended up having a ton of sins happening with them. They started to sin tremendously, and those were the people who got affected at Shittim later on. Those were the people who sinned at Shittim with Znos, because they never had the Atzei Shittim to protect them in the first place. But the rest of Bnei Yisrael, they were Goder Min Arayis, and they didn't have to worry about anything whatsoever. I'm going to give you another derech. The sefer is called the Torah Shlema. It's by a Rav by the name of Rav Menachem Kasher. Rav Menachem Kasher is an unbelievable genius. It's huge. It's like a 14-volume set. He brings down every medrash that you have on every pasuk in the Torah, brings it down, and explains it on the bottom. And his notes are remarkable. His notes, you've never seen notes like this before. Rav Menachem Kasher brings down the following medrash. Listen carefully. It's in Vayikra. It's one of the craziest medrashim I've ever heard. Harbe Brios, Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam. There are many creations that God created in this world. V'lo haya olam roi lishtamish b'hem. The world was not supposed to use them. The world was not fitting to use these creations. God knew that these creations should exist. They should be in this world. But the world wasn't ready for them. So what did God do with them? The guns on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mina olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got rid of them from the world, hid them underneath the ground, and made sure they would not be seen. That's what God did with these creations. The Ezeh, where was this? What creations are these? The Ora Ganus, Shenivra B'Yom Rishon. This was the light that was created on the first day. Along with that light that was created on the first day of creation were unreal amounts of creations that should be in this world, but we don't deserve to have them. And maybe they'll come back in the times of Mashiach when the Ora Ganus comes back. And yeah, the first thing that came to my head was a dinosaur. That's exactly what came to my head. That's what we're referring to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew they're supposed to be in this world, but he couldn't allow them to be in the world because the world wouldn't be ready for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be going to them in the ground and said, I don't want them here yet. Says the Medrash. V'af ha'arozim, cedar woods, all different types of non-fruit-bearing trees. Non-fruit-bearing trees. What is the point of such trees in this world? You want wood? We already got fruit-bearing trees. What do we need non-fruit-bearing trees for? So what do we need it for? God said, I don't need them in this world. I don't need them. This world is not roi to have non-fruit-bearing trees. Because the world is going to sin, and it's going to cause the non-fruit-bearing trees to become tame, and the world's not ready for this. But God did not allow them to be hidden. Why? Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, Lo haya olam roi lishtamish ba'arozim, ala lo nivru. You know why they were created? Ala bishvil ha-mishkan, bishvil ha-beis ha-mikdash. To be able to use these arozim, these non-fruit-bearing trees, for the mishkan and the beis ha-mikdash. There is no purpose to non-fruit-bearing trees in this world. And really, God should not have created them in the first place. The world is not there for it. We don't need it. We have fruit-bearing trees. All trees should have been fruit-bearing, and there should have been no such thing as a fir tree, or a pine tree, or a cedar, or anything else. None of these trees should have existed. California redwoods shouldn't have existed. They shouldn't be here. There's no reason for them. What, for wood? We already have wood. We need oxygen? We already have oxygen. What do you need these things for? Why did God create them? For one reason. The Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And we need to think for a second. That's even more so. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? What does that mean? This Medrash is trying to tell you there are things in this world that are supposed to be used for a certain purpose. And if you misuse them, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a tina on you. I only created this bowl to be used for cholent on a Thursday night while you're learning. If you don't learn, if you didn't learn anything, what were you using the bowl for? The bowl was there for learning. And you went ahead and you used it, the bowl has a tina on you. I was created for a reason, and you wasted me. You destroyed me. Wood was created for the Mishkan. Any other non-fruit-bearing wood that is used in this world may be used in a way that is not in a kadosh way. This is recyclable paper. So that might be a little bit different. But anything else, anything that's made, if it's not made for kedusha reasons, if it's not done in the right way, it's worth nothing. So that's what the medrash is telling you. It's a crazy medrash. So you have two very different medrashim. Yaakov who saw the Ruach HaKodesh, and he saw what they were going to need, and he knew that they were going to have problems with Znus. So he took the trees of the place of Znus and was Mekadesh them, and gave B'nai Yisrael a tremendous amount of kedusha that they never would falter in Znus. That's one way of looking at the Atzei Shittim, what the Atzei Shittim were doing in the Beis HaMikdash all over the place. But the second way of looking at it is, the Atzei Shittim don't belong here. The only reason why they're here is to give you an ability to do something Kadosh. People, Shittim is not just Stama word. Shin, Tes, Yud, Mem is how it's spelled throughout the entire Torah. Shittim is the gematria of Satan. This Satan is only in this world for us to use him correctly. You have Yetzirah? You have Yetzirah? You have Yetzirah to, I don't know, talk in the middle of a shir that you know you probably should be paying attention to. You have Yetzirah to eat without making a bracha beforehand. You have Yetzirah to forget to make a bracha achrona. You have Yetzirah to ditch learning to go do something that, you know, the wording in Yiddish would be pasnisht. Would that possibly be the not the thing that you should be doing? You know what the Yetzirah was created for? Yetzirah was created for you to have the ability to get angry at yourself and to yell at yourself and say, what's wrong with me? Because I don't have a Mishkan anymore to go in and become automatically holy. To have a little, like, pump-up thing on my shoe that I can automatically pump up my Kedusha. I don't have that anymore. So what do I have? I have the ability to do the one little thing that I can do. A little bit of learning that I can do during the week. A little bit of davening that I can do during the week. And if I waste it, then I waste everything. I lost everything. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu might as well be gonies me. Might as well hide me from the world and dig me a hole in the middle of the ground, because what do I need to be here for? It's a sobering thought, and not entirely, I'm being a little facetious when I'm saying this, obviously you don't deserve to die if you're Mevatel Torah, well, in a way, but I'm saying it in a way that's very powerful for a reason. To be able to think to yourself, what can I do better in order to improve my Kedusha in this world? What can I bring myself up with? What can I do to myself? And to keep working and working and working on yourself, to bring yourself to a different level. That's the Atzei Shittim, to use your satan for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons. That's the pshat. A summary, very quickly. We spoke about the difference between a mishkan and a mikdash, the manifestation of kedusha, versus the spreading of kedusha to a place that's very, very physical. We said that the purpose, the lesson of the mishkan was to teach us that anivus, being mevatel myself to God, allows us to become closer to God. We spoke about what the mishkan could have been if not for the Egel Azov. And then the purpose of the cedar wood, of Atzei Shittim, either it shouldn't have been in the world altogether, or that Yaakovinu saw that he could be metakin the tumah by making a kadosh. That's what we spoke about today, guys. Have a good Shabbos.